Good morning, Achim. Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Tomorrow we have the privilege of reading Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, contains three positive mitzvos. We begin the entire first perek of Chukas, deals with the Parah Aduma, which you can probably call the quintessential chuk, the law that Shlomo Melech says in Koheles, Amarti Achkoma, I thought that I could understand all of Torah, but for he, this mitzvah of Parah Aduma, Rechoka Mimeni, is beyond my comprehension. Why? Because there seems to be literally an inner contradiction within the Parah Aduma itself, the ashes of the red heifer, whereby on the one hand it is Mitaya Tameim, those individuals who are Tame, impure, because they've come in contact or under the same roof as a dead body. So those individuals who are Tame Nefesh can only become purified by having the water and ash of the Parah Aduma sprinkled upon them, so it purifies them. But yet the gentleman, the Kohen, who's administering the ash of the Parah Aduma, he himself becomes impure, becomes Tomei, it's Metami the Tahorim, for one day. Yes, we scratch our head, we can't understand. Obviously, the Torah is Seichel Eloka, it's literally divine wisdom. We can't understand. So this is, like I said, the valedictorian of Chukim. Okay. So now, I'm just going to ask one question that perhaps you can discuss at your Shabbos table. Zos Chukas HaTorah, which is the very beginning of the parsha, which means this is the literally the law, which we can't understand, of the Torah. Wait a minute. Doesn't the Torah use that expression at the end of Parshas Bo, the end of Perek Yud Beis, in Shmos, in talking about the Pesach, Zos Chukas HaPesach? This is some of the laws, and even those which we can't understand necessarily, regarding the Korban Pesach, the Yom Tov Pesach. Wonderful, good. So the Torah knows how to say Zos Chukas Ha specific law, Pesach. It should have said over here Zos Chukas HaPorah. Why Zos Chukas HaTorah? I know it's a good question, discuss it, and good. I want to share with you a fascinating nitziv. All right? Here we go. We know we have in this parsha Meimariva. Unfortunately, the Torah teaches us that Miriam dies, and the Pasuk continues, V'lohoya mayim la'eda. There is no water, right, for the people. And some say, like Rashi, oyoyoy, that after all, the water that the Jewish people had miraculously accompanying them for the 40 years came, as we know from the Gemara Tainis, in the schus of Miriam. Now that Miriam dies, and what does the Torah say in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Aleph, Vatomasha Miriam, Miriam dies, Vatikovasham, and she's buried. Ouch! What does it say later on in the parasha regarding Aaron? That when Aaron dies, the Torah testifies, oh my goodness, that they mourned for Aaron, come on, Shloshim Yom. And not only do they mourn for Aaron, Shloshim Yom, but the Torah says, who mourned for Aaron? Kol Beis Yisrael. Right? The entire household, the entire Jewish nation mourns for Aaron. Go to the very end of the Torah, and what do you find? By Moshe Rabbeinu, right? the Torah says, once again, they mourn for Moshe like Aaron, Shloshim Yom. Doesn't say they're called Beis Yisrael, but it certainly says that they mourn for Moshe 30 days. And here, the Torah doesn't say anything about mourning for Miriam. Ouch. So, first of all, that could very well be why there is no water now that Miriam has died, not only because she's the one that provided it, but, ouch, they didn't give proper Hakoras HaTov to Miriam for the water that they had miraculously all these years, and therefore, for their lack of showing proper Hakoras HaTov to Miriam, that's perhaps why we don't have the water. Okay, so we know that now we're in the 40th year, and unlike the first year the Bnei Yisrael are in the Midbar, even before we come to Sinai, there's a lack of water, and what happens? Hashem tells Moshe to take his staff, Vikisa, and there he's to hit the rock. So Moshe hits the rock in year 1. Now in year 40, Moshe is to speak to the rock. Another interesting point for your discussion. Madua, why in year 1 to hit and in year 40 to speak? Okay, Hashem tells Moshe to take his mater and he and Aaron to come gather the people before the rock. And interestingly, you ready? Gather the people. Now remember, Baruch Hashem, how many people are we? Approximately 2 million. That's a lot of people. So another miracle, because everybody is to see this. Whoa! For 2 million people to be able to see what's about to happen. Wow. Okay, let's move on. So what's supposed to happen? Hashem says to Moshe, okay, you and your brother, v'dibartem el ha'sela, speak to the rock, okay? Now, and what's going to happen? Water is going to come forth, etc. And before we even go further and discuss that Moshe unfortunately hits the rock and Shimuno Hamorim, you know, all the many fascinating aspects of the, of this incident, I'd like to stop at the very beginning and focus on the three words, v'dibartem el ha'sela, speak to the rock. Okay? A question that I think most of us probably have not asked ourselves, can anybody please tell me, what is it that Moshe was supposed to say to the rock? And I can tell you one thing, it was an abracadabra. So what's going on here? V'dibartem el ha'sela. There's a delicious nitziv who gives the following explanation. And he begins with the following words. Eina kavona, don't think, sheyedabru im ha'sela, that when they speak to the rock, what does that mean? V'yitzavu osolite mayim. That's what everybody would have said. Please give water. The people are thirsty. We need water. Please give water. No, says the Nitziv. Shareina sela bar shmiya. The sela doesn't hear, and the sela, come on. So what are they to say? So he quotes a Yalkut Shimoni who says, V'dibartem, what are you supposed to say? Dvar halacha achas uperek echod. Talk Torah to the seller. What does that mean, talk Torah to the seller? Talk Torah in front of the seller. Now, what does that mean? Listen carefully. He sends you to the beginning of the second perek of Tanis. And he says as follows. Moshe, the people are about to go into Eretz Yisrael. What's going to be in Eretz Yisrael when oyoyoy, there's going to be a crisis. There's not going to be any rain. And we need rain for the produce to grow. So what are we going to do at such a time? So the answer is, as we find in the beginning of the second perek of Kamam, of Tanis, gather all the people to the village square, all right? And the Rosh Ha'am, the elder of the community, the Talmud Chacham of the community, should come and speak Divrei Kavushim, words that are going to move the people, inspire the people, Torah. Afterwards, they're going to daven Bitzibur, okay? And therefore, teach the people what to do in Eretz Yisrael. This is going to be, pardon the pun, the dry run. By you showing the people that by speaking to the rock and speaking Torah in front of the rock, you are going to show them how nature is subservient to Torah. Whoa! And as a result of nature being subservient to Torah, by your teaching Torah, by the people learning Torah, this is going to have that positive effect upon nature. Whoa! What a beautiful idea that we're about to enter Eretz Yisrael, and the rules in Eretz Yisrael are different. This is not a regular land. This is a land which is responsive to Torah. Whoa, what a beautiful concept of the Netziv. Now, where do we find a fascinating concept of nature being subservient to Torah? We find in the Gemara Chulin Dav Zayin, famous story of Reb Pinchas ben Yoer, who's going to Pidyon Shvuyim. He's going on a mitzvah mission to free Jews who have been imprisoned. And he misses the boat, pardon the literal pun, in the sense that he missed the ferry. Now he's got to get to the other side of the river. So he commands the river Ginoi to split. And you can look it up yourself. It's a delicious Gemara in Chulin Dav Zayin, the conversation between Reb Pinchas ben Yoer and the river, and ultimately the river responds and splits for him. As a result of this, interestingly, a quick aside, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, right before Kriyas Yamsuf, asks, what's the big deal of Kriyas Yamsuf if, come on, the water splits for Rav Pinchas ben Yoer, for one great man? Here, big deal, the water splits for 2 million. But he gives a beautiful answer. And he says, Pinchas ben Yoer comes after Matan Torah. Oh, what does Pinchas ben Yoer have in his pocket? He's got the key, namely Torah. Mat Kriyas Yamsuf occurred prior to Matan Torah. Oh, prior to Matan Torah, what schusim did Bnei Yisrael have? The answer is that they're going to accept the Torah. So once again, nature is subservient to Torah. Very important. This is what comes out of this week's parsha. This is what we see in Gemara Chulin Dav Zayin, and this is what we see in Eretz Yisrael today. The whole world, they like it, they don't like it, they are mishtomeim, which means they are aghast that in 75 years, how progressive, how technologically advanced, how successful Al-Tiftach Peh is this little country, and what doesn't come out of it and how it affects the entire world. Hayitochen, how is it possible? And they don't even want to admit this, but they have no choice. And we know what the answer is. The answer is not simply that Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, but Adarabba V'Adarabba, what we say every day in the Kriya Shema. V'hoyom Shemoa Tishmio Mitzvosai, if we fulfill the mitzvos, if we study Torah, v'shinantam livonecha, which means teach Torah to your students, and in the next paragraph, limadetem osam es b'neichem, we teach Torah, then, what does it say? Oh, v'nosati mitar artzachem b'ito yurel malkut v'safta digot. That's correct. The success of the land of Israel is commensurate, is dependent on our, this is the secret of our success, our affiliation, our study, our observance of Torah. The more Torah, the more success in Eretz Yisrael. So first of all, in terms of where we are in Eretz Yisrael, Lo'aleinu will have the privilege of being in Eretz Yisrael now, and being in Ramat Beit Shemesh, where I'm recording this program. And what a privilege it is to be here. But to understand that our young men, women in Gaza and in, up in the north that are protecting our holy special land, we fortify them by our Torah and mitzvos. That's number one. Very quickly, just know that today, the Erev Shabbos of Parshas Chukas, ouch, in June 25th, 1244, approximately 800 years ago. You ready? No, you don't want to hear this. 24 wagon loads of Sforim. Now remember, every Gemara, every Bava Kama, Shnayim, listen carefully now, Arbavos Nezikin, every word was written by hand. There was no printing. Could you imagine 24 wagon truck loads of Sfarim were burnt on this day? And as a result, the Mogen Avraham writes that throughout the years, it was a Tannis of Tzaddikim that understood. And why this day was not commemorated by the day of the month of Tammuz, but rather Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, because, ouch, what is the Aramaic, the Unkelis translation of Zos Chukas HaTorah? Da Gezeras Oraisa. Not only this is the law of the Torah, but ouch, the tearing up, the destruction of Torah. They saw that the Torah itself was Merames for this terrible incident, historical event, which was so had a deadly, what a terrible effect upon our people, and etc. We today realize the significance, the importance of Torah. That's what emerges from Parshas Chukas, the Dibartem el Hasela, Halacha Achaz, one law, one Musar, one idea that we're constantly to grow. And as we, Emir Hashem, grow in Torah, so too, Baruch Hashem, is our special, holy Eretz Yisrael growing and expanding, and Baruch Hashem inspiring the entire world. Shabbat Shalom to all.